We're excited about what God is doing as we continue to promote and to demonstrate the kingdom of God. We were called, given an assignment, allowed us to be a part of what he is doing. All right, in Deuteronomy, the 16th chapter, I want to turn to it quickly, just want to remind us. Deuteronomy chapter 16. And it isn't, you know, we're familiar with this, but anyway, it's good for us to read it again so that we get the full gist. Serve the month of Abib. Elsewhere, it's called Nisan. It's the first month of the year. And keep the Passover unto the Lord your God. For in the month of Abib, the Lord your God brought you forth out of Egypt by night. Well, now, you and I were in Egypt, spiritually speaking, and God brought us out. And so I want to go ahead and share that with you this morning and elaborate about the wonderful status that God has granted us. Verse 2. He said, you shall therefore sacrifice the Passover unto the Lord your God of the flock and of the herd and of the place which he, the Lord, shall choose to place his name there. Verse 3, you shall eat unleavened bread 7 days. Well, today is day number 2. And so we are going through this ritual, so to speak, where we are practicing doing the things that God desires for us to do. You know, I don't understand the mindset of those who teach these days saying the commandments are done away. Have they not read in the last book of the Revelation, the last chapter, in fact, verse 14, where he says, blessed are they who keep his commandments, for they, you know, that they may have a right to the tree of life. Have they not read that? Blessed are they. This is the last chapter. If anybody has anything to say, the last one does. And he said, blessed are they who keep his commandments. The wise among us will make sure we're doing that. So here it is, we are going through the series of unleavened bread. Now, I've pictured this before. I just want to go ahead and share at least the picture that God has given me. And that is, you know, in industry, we train folks. They go through a process. It's what we call development. And so we go through the process. Well, unleavened bread is really, we're going through the process, because technically speaking, there is always a little leaven in us. Yes, there is always, there is always room to improve. And so when we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm turning to it, because we want to get, you know, straight from the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. In other words, we're going to be new, more and more, less sin in our life. In other words, there's less sin. Purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. Notice now, the unleavened pictures what we are supposed to become. You see, God is giving us what we would call, a vision board. It's a vision of where we're supposed to go. And we are supposed to be unleavened. And that is the direction in which we are going. And that's why he's instructing them to purge it out. In other words, get rid of it. Don't hold on to it. Don't embrace it. Because you are unleavened, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Now, we have been over this, explaining about the blood and how God has made it possible for you and I now to have access to the Holy of Holies, to come before the throne of God and make our petition. Yes, we have access now, Hebrews 10:19. And therefore, we now are considered unleavened. Another way of putting that is, we are now justified. That's what Paul is saying in Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. We are now justified. And so you and I then have a privilege that is not extended to others who are not walking with Christ. It is a privilege for you and I. Now, I want to go ahead and mention some things because today many are observing what they call Good Friday. They misunderstand how things are supposed to be. Perhaps they were not taught. Maybe they didn't have time to investigate these things. But in John, the 19th chapter, I want to bring this to your attention because you're going to run across somebody else who is going to try to, argue with you with regards to, about Good Friday and the picture of Easter bun and things like that. Have you ever noticed the enemy? He always want to go contrary in everything, bun, even though we have what's supposed to be unleavened and unleavened bread. Anyway, verse 31 of John, the 19th chapter says, "The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation," now preparation is the day before the Sabbath, "because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day." Well, many jump to conclusion because they are not observing the feast of the Lord. So they assume that that Sabbath was Saturday. But they're wrong. And you and I know that because we observed that Sabbath yesterday. And yesterday was not Saturday. Yesterday was Thursday. So this is where they get the concept of Good Friday from. But anyway, back to this. It says that the body should not remain upon the cross. For that Sabbath day was a high day. It is one of the, what we refer to, others might say, high holy days. And so it was the first day of unleavened bread. So when you read in Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, about 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. Let's see, verse 6, Leviticus 23. Let me turn to it and look at this quickly. Leviticus chapter 23. It says, verse 6. "On the 15th day of the same month," well, we're speaking of the first month, "is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord unto the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread." And so we're going through that process where we're eating unleavened bread, not because we want to make ourselves free of sin. We can't do that. That's Jesus' work. That's He who does that through the Spirit. What we do is yield to His Spirit. It's important that we understand that. Yes, you get leavened out of the house, but the point is, it is a picture of what God is doing. Now He has done it, and therefore now we are to more and more walk into the picture of what He has for us. And what is the picture again? Being totally unleavened. So more and more we're going to be unleavened. Well, God has already imputed that to us. So He already said, hey, you're unleavened. You purged out the whole sin. That's what Paul was saying. And it's because you are unleavened. It's what I refer to as, well, in English, you'd say future perfect tense, meaning it is guaranteed to happen. It's in the future, but you're getting more and more in that direction. And so verse 7 says, "In the first day you shall have a holy convocation," which we had yesterday, "and you shall do no servile work therein," that means regular work, "and you shall offer an offering made by fire 7 days unto the Lord." And of course, you and I now don't offer physical sacrifice. You all understand that. But the point is that we now are really a living sacrifice. We're given the sacrifice of praise and in other ways and so on. And he says, "On the seventh day is a holy convocation." So next Wednesday is going to be a holy convocation on that particular high day. All right? But I want to go ahead and make sure we understand this. Now, I want to talk a little more about your status and what God as purpose for you. Remember I said he has already made the declaration that you are unleavened? Well, in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, there's a lot that is mentioned there. So let's turn to the book of Romans, chapter 8. And we're going to look at, starting with verse, let's pick it up in verse 1. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation. No one can condemn us. Nothing can condemn us. The system cannot condemn us. They don't agree with us. They don't necessarily like us, but they're wrong. But we're confident of this, and therefore there is no more condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So you and I now have been called, been built with the power of God, and so now we are walking, or in other words, following the leading of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the law there means way of life, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free, or you might say set us free from the law of sin and death. The end result, you know, in science you have this expression law. What does that mean? It means this is how it always works. Well, the law of living in Christ Jesus always works. That's going to set us free from the other law, the way it always works, where if you do what is wrong, you end up what? Dead, right? Spiritually dead, eventually. And so the law of the Spirit of life has made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law, and the term law there is used in a lot of different contexts, and you have to spend some time to read it and meditate on it to get the full gist of it. But the Spirit of God will illuminate your mind so you will be able to get it. So that what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, why? Because we still have a tendency to do things our way, the flesh. God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, for sin condemns sin in the flesh. In other words, he come in a similar manner just like us, but he overcame everything else. In other words, he passed the test, which he obviously would because he's filled with the Spirit without measure. But he's demonstrating to that system, hey, there's a way around. Now it is up to you now to get hold of it. That we now should walk like he walk. And then we also end up talking like he talk. How do you do that? Well, you study the word, you practice it, you put it in practice as much as you can. He has already, attributed it to you as righteousness when you made that decision. So the point now is for you now to live up to the expectation. See, that's it. That's our goal. To live up now to that expectation. So therefore now, as we just pointed out, Paul summarized and said, there is no condemnation. Because guess who is trying to condemn us regularly? The devil, Satan the devil and his henchmen. And in fact, some of the people who work for him, they foolishly follow that pattern. But we don't have to worry about it because we are free. The blood of Jesus has set us free. Remember, we escaped the world by the blood of Jesus, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Yes, the blood of Jesus set us free. And we have made that clear time and time again. Remember, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. All right? And so what we are saying now is that we are now free. So what is the result then of our freedom? Verse 12 of Romans chapter 8 says, therefore, brethren, therefore, what is the result? Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. In other words, we're obligated not to live that way, the old way. For if we live after the flesh, the old way, we shall die. But if we live through the Spirit, the new way of life that mortifies the way that leads to death. The deeds of the body, you shall live. You mortify everything that, or allow it to die, that goes contrary to God. Then what do we end up with? Eternal life. And I've mentioned before, what has he given you through his spirit? Some Zoe to empower you to keep walking in that direction. Continue. For to be carnal minded is death, but to be spiritual minded is life and peace. Now listen. The days of unleavened bread, sometimes you may want to call it a trial period. This one that lasts really all the rest of your life from now on. You're walking through that process, but it pictures again your ultimate destination, your ultimate goal, your ultimate status. You're totally unleavened. Now, God, he could wait until then, but no, he has already imputed that to us. And therefore, now it is on our, you might say, on your scoreboard. And so now you are unleavened. That's what Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It's guaranteed to happen. Future perfect tense. What is our obligation then? To walk after the Spirit. You cannot walk after the Spirit and go contrary to God. It doesn't make sense. It is impossible. If you're following the Spirit, you're going to go in the direction that God desires for you to go. If you're with him, that's all that matters. Some years ago, we went to the Feast of Tabernacles, and my kids, they were younger at the time, and they said to me, Daddy, it's time to go home. And I said, what do you mean? Who are you going to go home to? We're here. If you're with us, all is well. Well, guess what? When you're with Jesus, all is well. If you're following the lead of the Spirit, all is well. No, you don't have to worry about whether or not you're going to mess up here and there. Not the prerogative. Don't focus on that. Yeah, occasionally you'll slip here and there, but if you're, God is willing and faithful, and he's going to cleanse us from all unrighteousness if we confess, that's all we have to do. Tell him we're sorry and move on. But the point here, ladies and gentlemen, I want to make sure you get it clear in your spirit, is that your ultimate goal is to be unleavened. Let me give you another example. Why do you celebrate the independence of Kenya? You celebrate, here in America, we celebrate America's independence. Not so we can become independent. Oh no, we're already independent, but we do so because we are. It is. And so we're doing this celebration now because God has made us unleavened, and we continue in that direction. There's a whole lot more we can say about this, ladies and gentlemen. It's a whole lot. Well, I just want to mention a few other things here before I close. We have said this before, so I'm just going to paraphrase it. John chapter 10, verse 10. He came that we may have life and have it abundantly. He's talking about spiritual life, Zoe. And we're going to have it abundantly. Yes, he has unleashed that once we came to him, when we repented and were baptized and the impartation took place. And it continues now. So you and I are going to grow in that direction. And so my point here is that you then can live the abundant life. Remember what you started out by saying? It is in Jesus. It can't be outside of him. It doesn't work like that. It is in him. Okay? In addition, in 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Chapter 10 and verse 11. Let's go there. Now, all these things happened to them. What things is he talking about? If you read the whole chapter, you'll get the full gist. It was recorded what happened to the Israelites so we can have a record to learn from it. Remember now, don't look down on them and say, well, they couldn't read 1 Corinthians like you and I can. They didn't have access to the Spirit like you and I can. So is any wonder then that they make mistakes? The people in the world don't have the spirit like you and I do. Therefore, they're constantly going contrary. That's why they keep talking about 3 days and three nights between Good Friday and Sunday morning. You know, that doesn't make sense. But they still believe it, and they go around and they tell themselves fairy tale and talk about rabbits laying eggs and things like that. They get it all wrong. They don't have access to the spirit. But God expects better from you and I. We know. We have access. We have been told. We have been taught. Therefore, now all these things have happened unto them, and as an example, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world have come. So they recorded, these things were recorded for us so we can learn. Verse 12, wherefore, let him that think he stand take heed lest he fall. Now we're going to continue checking yourself out. Verse 13, there had no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Now listen, you're going to be tested. If you have a great cricket team or a football team, a soccer team, and they never practice, they never go up any tough opponent, nobody would really look at them as being all that powerful. But if they go up against the tough and survive, then you know they have achieved a certain status. Well, it's the same. You and I now are going to go up against the enemy. And so he's going to lead us in the directions where we're going to be tested. We're always going to be tested. And so he says, no, there's no temptation that is taking you such as is common to man. So don't say, well, why? Woe is me. No. What you do is go to him and say, well, Lord, what do I do now? Look into the scriptures, pray, fast, and any other tool you may apply so as to get the response. But there is always a response. And such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. So there is always a solution. So I want to remind you, because there are many who come to the Lord believing that, well, things are going to be fine and hunky-dory, and we don't have to worry about it. Everything's going to be easy from now on. There's going to be a lot of temptation, a lot of testing. What God expects you to pass in every stage, in every grade. That's it. Why? Because he already told you, you're unleavened. And we just told you from the scriptures there is always a solution. Well, how do you get it? You seek him. Ask him. Ask your pastor. Ask those around you. Go ahead and pray. Seek. Knock. You will find it. And that's how he does it. And that is what is pictured by these days of unleavened bread. We're going to continue to do this for the rest of our life. But it says intense for 7 days. But it is really for the rest of our life. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you in the next lesson. All right, let's see.